pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
And welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Happy Tuesday morning to you. 5 minutes after the hour. So to come on the program, State Representative Matt Simpson will join us in studio. That's at the bottom of the hour. So please, if you can, stay tuned. But joining us now, the second time he's been on the program, from North Central Alabama, a good friend of the program, State Senator Jim McClendon is on the line. Senator, how are you this morning?
Jeff, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thank you for coming on this morning. You were on with Don Daly on Alabama on Alabama Public Television, the Capital Journal, and I think it's a very important segment. It's going on right now with our census and census participation. But then once we get those tallies and we know what we're doing, your committee. You sit on the reapportionment committee. You're the co-chair along with State Representative Chris Pringle. You guys will convene and you will talk about what do you do with these results, which is drawing the new lines, the new maps for political or for congressional and legislative districts.
Congressional, legislative, and Board of Education.
Board of Education as well, right. So there's a lot in that process. First of all, the census participation. Not where it needs to be, but it sounds to me like I was told by Representative Pringle maybe 6-7 months ago, if we could get to 80% participation, we would be in good shape to keep that congressional seat. Well, we're at 80%. Did something happen where these other states maybe upped their game a little bit and gotten us in putting us where we had to really look beyond 80% participation?
Well, the last I've heard, the same thing that you've heard, I'm sure, is that Alabama is lagging the nation in participation in this. And of course, one of the things we're sort of hoping for is that California and Texas will be a little bit slow also, and Florida. But from our standpoint, from the position of the redistricting committee, we just got to take the numbers we're given and work with them. You do, and it's a simple divisor deciding whether or not we use a congressional district or not, which right now I'd say it's a 50-50 chance. So it's based not only on our participation, but on the participation of the other states, too. So I don't know what's going to make things change in Alabama in the next 30 days. I don't see anything out there to make folks do be more responsible about this than they have been in the last, since January 1st when we started this process.
Yeah, and it's not for a lack of trying. Getting people to participate, the governor made it a priority. You drive all over this state, and there's not only there's commercials on the radio and on television. There's billboards up, or those electronic billboards up. They really did the best they could, but it just, for whatever reason, there just doesn't, that participation really is a struggle.
Yeah, and it's a shame too, because it makes a difference in how the federal dollars are allocated back to the states. And of course, losing a congressional seat is really going to cause havoc with the redistricting process. There's not, if we have to eliminate a congressional seat, it's sort of like musical chairs. When the music quits, there's not going to be enough chairs to go around, and somebody's not going to be happy. But it is what it is. We've changed. We thought the deadline, we thought we had a time schedule in place. In fact, so far I've done three very detailed calendars of events for the redistricting process here in Alabama, and I've had to scrap all three of them. We just got another judge that said we're going to keep this alive through the end of October. Well, that was new, and that was just last week. So, it's a shame we can't get folks to participate. I've seen more attempts by the state and by the feds to get folks to participate this time around than I've ever seen, but it's not working.
No, and it's been a struggle, and I guess, you know, that's the way it goes. But let's talk about the process. You expect the results from the census come at a certain time. When does your committee get into gear? When do you guys start talking? How does that play out, or at least how do you see it played out this time?
Well, we've been Representative Pringle and I've been working on this for not a year, 6 months at least. We've been trying to put plans in place. One of the things we're going to have to do different this time around is meetings that the public can attend. 10 years ago, I was House Chairman. This time I'm Senate Chairman. But when I was House Chairman, Senator Dahl, who was Senate Chairman at the time, he and I and a court reporter traveled all over the state. We went, I believe, to 24 different locations in the state, invited the public in to speak, had a court reporter there to write it all down, and submitted it, and then brought it all back to the committee for consideration to try to get the input. Well, this time, it's not going to work that way. We had already started planning on going about it differently rather than physically showing up, and now that the COVID virus has taken over our lives and decision-making process, I can see we're going to be having remote public hearings. And essentially, Representative Pringle and myself will be able to listen to those people live, but we'll be in Montgomery, and they'll be wherever they are in the state. So that's going to be a different process, and we're working on that. We also are going to obtain new software for doing the map drawing, and we're creating a new studio within the State House so we can have several legislators sit down at once to look at a map. 10 years ago, we'd have 3, 4, 5 legislators looking at a desktop computer, crowding around a screen that was, you know, 20 inches. Well, we're going to have a screen that takes up a wall this time so they can tell better where the lines are and whose house and whose church is inside the line or outside the line. So, Representative Pringle and I started on this long ago, and we've been working on it on a regular basis. It's an ongoing process.
I mean, the nature of these things, you would expect when we start talking about politics and elections and drawing these districts, this seems to be like one of the biggest, I don't want to say battles, but contentious issues perhaps on the legislative agenda for 2021.
Well, there's no question, Jeff. It's probably the most political process that goes on in Montgomery, Alabama, or any other state capital, because everybody in the country is having to do this. But yeah, it's a political process. And here's the scenario. So you've got a representative, and who's a representative because the people in his district sent him to her to Montgomery. Well, that representative or that legislator really is pretty happy with that district because he figures they made a wise choice, and he'd probably like to keep that district. So we'll have to be changing the shapes and sizes of districts to make adjustments for population shifts. But the legislators, Board of Education members, and congressional people, they like the district they're in because that sent them to Montgomery or to Washington. So, yeah, and we need their vote. The redistricting process is like any other piece of legislation. It's got to pass the House, got to pass the Senate, it's got to be signed by the governor. So, it's a contentious project. But keep in mind, we've got to make these representatives happy or we don't get their vote.
Well, something else you said that was interesting, there's not only those hurdles to overcome on the executive and the legislative side, there's a high probability it'll face some court challenges. For whatever reason, the redistricting will and you'll at some point perhaps be asked to testify before a court.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty much assumed. The Republicans are in the majority in Alabama, and it's a pretty good chance, I would say, that if history tells us anything, that the Democrats will take this to court. Here's the deal. If you can't win the vote in the legislative process, then the next step is to go to the courts. Well, the Republicans outnumber the Democrats. That's just how it works. It's sort of like what's going on in Washington in the Senate. The Republicans outnumber the Democrats. So I would not be surprised if we didn't end up in court. In fact, if we didn't end up in court, I would be surprised. So, yeah, it's going to happen. And so we have to be careful about what we say and how we go about doing this. The goal, the real goal here, no matter whether people sue or don't sue, is to have fair districts. Have districts that elect somebody that's a representative of the people in that district, which is probably different from the adjacent district. So we're going to do our best to have districts that are a reflection of the population in that district. But pretty good chance we'll be going to court. We did last time. We'll probably be going again.
And that's what you say, to be careful about what you say. You know, maybe you make public comments on a radio show like this or another media outlet that they could come up and be used in that potential court challenge.
Oh, no, there's no question. The attorneys for the other side will get a transcript of you and I talking today. And they'll take a look at that and see if there's something in there they like. I mean, that's a fact of life. I've been doing this enough to where I kind of weigh what I have to say and try to make sure it's fair to everybody. But, yep, that's going to court. You know, last time we went to the, and it's federal court, by the way, we went to the local circuit, then we ended up in the Supreme Court, and we're back in the district court again. So that's a part of it. I'll tell you one thing. It's a great thing for attorneys. You know, it's a money maker for them.
So as I say, somebody's getting a windfall out of the challenges. Joined by State Senator Jim McClendon here on the program. Senator, with that in mind, I think, going to be a big centerpiece of your upcoming 2021 session. All the unfinished business of 2020, and then the new issues that have arisen since since you guys left Montgomery earlier this year. I mean, it's going to be a very hectic regular session next year.
Yeah, I was having this discussion with my wife. I expect there's a lot of bills that lawmakers are anxious to get another crack at getting them through the process. The last regular session of this year, 2020, was cut short by this virus thing. And perhaps when we go back in February, we will have learned enough about dealing with it that we've found a way we can have a full session without cutting the session short. Now, with that in mind, it's going to be a busy session. Redistricting, it's very unlikely we will have the data, the numbers from the Census Bureau in time to do redistricting, the actual drawing and passing of the bills in the regular session. It appears right now there will be a special session next summer. I would say right now I would be guessing it would be in August, give me a plus or minus a month or two. And the regular session will be over in May or something like that. Starts in February, be out by May, hopefully. It's not going to be conflicting. The redistricting legislative process will not conflict with the normal process.
In some ways, it's almost better, because if the governor calls a special session to deal with this, then you can isolate this issue and there's not a lot of other distractions or other potential wheeling and dealing. That this is standalone, and maybe that makes it a little better.
Oh, no question about it. We focus on this thing, get the legislators in town. You know, it is possible to have a complete legislative special session in 5 legislative days. It can be done. We have done it in the past. If we don't have the other pieces of legislation involved in this, which would be nothing but a distraction. I don't need to be trading a vote for somebody's road project in order to get a vote for their district. That's just too distracting. So it's possible we can get in and get out, and I'll be counting votes, and I'm not going to go before the legislature with a bill that redraws the Senate in such a manner. I'm not going to have enough votes to get it through. So, I hope we can isolate redistricting, do it in a special session, and stay away from everything else.
Senator, we got to leave it there, but that was a really useful segment. Thanks for coming on this morning.
Hey, anytime, Jeff. Good to hear from you.
State Senator Jim McClendon, co-chair of the Legislature's Reapportionment Committee, Joint Committee. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. First to me, carry on, sweet Southern comfort, carry on.